I've got to declare an interest at the outset, of course. I regard myself as a friend of Julian Assange. I was involved in a minuscule way in helping him set WikiLeaks up way back when. And yes, I visited him in the embassy, and yes, the program returns to the tragic plight, the appalling plight of Julian again and again. The spectre of Boris Johnson and Trump buddying up in the UK this week looms large, and so it's even more difficult to have any optimism for Julian's future. As you all know, he's been in Belmarsh, a supermax reserved for terrorists and the most serious criminals since April this year. And he's now on remand, of course, waiting for the extradition hearings that will decide whether he'll be sent to the USA to face charges that could result in being sentenced to, yes, 175 years in the slammer. No chance of getting him a fair hearing in either the UK or the US that I can see. And joining us to tell us the latest is WikiLeaks editor-in-chief, Christian Harapsen. He's in Canberra for meetings with the Pollies and to talk to the National Press Club. Christian, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you, Philip, for inviting me.
In May, after a visit to Julian, you said he was bent but not broken. Is that still the case?
It is still the case, but things are getting more serious day by day. In every visit, and I'm seeing him like once a month since the spring, he is fading. He's losing weight rapidly, and this isolation that he's under, the sensory deprivation in that prison is horrible.
Christian, is it true he's only got 1 hour a day outside the cell?
1 to 2 hour a day is what he gets outside the cell. And they are treating him, actually, according to lawyers who know well, worse than the terrorists that are serving there. I mean, they empty the hallways when he has to go from one place to another. So he is on the health ward and in a single cell and almost never sees other inmates even.
Christian, the issue of whether he gets sent to the USA is in the hands of the British courts. Is there a snowball's chance in hell that he'll get a fair hearing?
Well, one is not very hopeful after having been in the courtrooms there and listened to the snide remarks by the judges there who are obviously prejudiced and biased towards him. They are calling him a narcissist after just seeing him behind a bulletproof glass and saying nothing but his name and date of birth. So one is not very hopeful that he gets a fair trial. As Niels Melcher, the special rapporteur on torture at the United Nations, has said, he has been mobbed publicly in that country for the last 10 years, and it has seeped in, and it has seeped into the minds of the judges. Obviously, they are not listening to reason. So even though we have a great legal team defending him, it is beyond being a case of legal arguments. It's a political case.
Little by little, there's changing views about Julian here. A previous foreign minister and state premier in Bob Carr has come out in favour of bringing Julian home, as has an ex-prime minister in Kevin Rudd. What's the attitude in Britain at the, you know, is there any support for him at top level in British society?
We hear of very little support. So there are, of course, there have been statements by Jeremy Corbyn and his shadow Home Secretary that he should not be extradited. They are, of course, in the leadership of the Labour Party. One hopes that that they would will stick to that position. In the as it looks now, the unlikely event that they will get into power, you never know, but the polls are suggesting otherwise. Apart from that, there has been almost silence, and they have not been very outspoken politicians in Britain.
I was worried about him surviving even in the good old days back in Ecuador, in the Ecuadorian embassy. How does he stay sane?
Well, that is a good question. He is a very resilient man, as you know, after you've met him. So he is, he hangs in there. In my mind, and I can say that as his friend, I am certain that this resilience only comes from a man who is totally certain about the that he is doing the right thing, that he is doing something that he has to do. And even though he's paying this price, this daily price for that, this is what keeps him alive.
Is he still being denied access to the internet?
He has no access to the internet. He just recently got a computer, which barely was working. It's only a few weeks ago that he had actually access to the legal material pertaining to his case that is only weeks away, which is absolutely appalling. He was there for months and months, and the lawyers came to visit, but they could not leave his legal papers in the prison so he could study it and prepare for his defense, the defense for his life. That is just an incredible thing to witness in a so-called civilized country which claims to have a justice system, but there's no justice in this.
And you would argue that they've used illegal methods to gather information on Julian.
Well, we have a proof of that. This emerged in Spain and through the Spanish daily El País, who got information about the gathering of material in the Ecuadorian embassy. In the times there, especially after Lenin Moreno took over the presidency in Ecuador, where there was a very invasive surveillance and spying, including on his visits with doctors, including on his visits with lawyers, which was recorded. And we now know that this firm who was overseeing security in the Ecuador embassy was working on behalf of U.S. intelligence and the Justice Department. So this was a spying case which is now being actually investigated by magistrate judges in Spain, who will take action against those who are responsible.
Christian, how long has the U.S. been planning and plotting this vengeance on Assange?
This has been going on for almost 10 years. This started in 2010, right after the releases and the exposure of war crimes in Iraq and Afghanistan, the publication of the collateral murder videos showing the killing of innocent civilians in Baghdad in 2007, and of course diplomatic cables that WikiLeaks started to publish towards the end of the year 2010. We heard then of the task force across U.S. agencies of 120 people or more. We started to gather information and prepare for what is now officially a prosecution, but I would call it a persecution. A secret grand jury was put together in Alexandria, Virginia in 2010. The mandate of this grand jury has been extended on every 18 months. We have no access to that. They have been gathering, I mean, years ago we heard they had already gathered 40,000 pages of information, so God knows how much they piled up in the years since then. So this is nothing new emerging just in the last few months. They had been waiting in the wings for the right moment. The smear campaign against Julian has been systematic, and it has been filtering into the mainstream media. And when the time was right, and when the right political person was in the president's seat in Quito, in Ecuador, a person who was so despicable that, according to the New York Times, was offering Julian's head in return for debt relief at the IMF, they basically made that deal. A few weeks before, the Ecuadorians invited the Metropolitan Police in London into the embassy to arrest him on Ecuadorian soil, de facto. The Ecuadorians received $3.5 billion loan from the IMF and $1 billion of promises from the World Bank, institutions that are de facto controlled by the U.S. government. So this was basically, they sold him out.
Christian, I can hear the exhaustion in your voice. So let's circle around the impact the campaign's had on WikiLeaks and indeed on you, because you must spend almost all your time on trying to get Julian released.
In the last few months, that has been my main job, and to try to get together the groups who have been with great courage fighting for his release and his justice for him. All around the globe, people have been gathering. It's really been heartening to see that he has not been forgotten. And it's so positive to feel there is growing support and growing understanding about the severity of his case. This, of course, should be fought on two fronts, on the humanitarian grounds, where we cannot just see a person like him, a publisher, an intellectual, being tortured to death in a Western prison, but also because of the precedent being set here, because this is not just an attack on Julian Assange and on WikiLeaks and us around him in the organization. This is an attack on press freedom, and the worst attack on press freedom in decades, even 100 years.
I remember talking to Julian on the program when we could get him on during the Ecuadorian embassy stage, and he was making the point that everything had been done humanly and inhumanly possible to stop the flow of donations getting to WikiLeaks. Is that still the case?
No, we actually were able to fight that off. It took years and years. I mean, I'm pretty proud of that we won that battle formally in Icelandic courts. But yes, that is true. In 2010, in an unprecedented move, both the major credit card companies on the world market, Visa and MasterCard, teamed up with other financial institutions to block the blood flow to the organization, which relies solely on donations. So for 3 years, there was almost no flow from our supporters to the organization. But through a Supreme Court victory in Iceland, this was deemed unlawful, and the subsidiaries or the linked companies in Iceland were ordered to open up the gateways, and that was a victory.
I hope donations are accelerating.
They are, and people are donating to his defense, which is, of course, of utmost interest importance now. This is expensive to fight. It is, justice does not come cheap these days.
I also note that WikiLeaks is throwing down the gauntlet by releasing material again, and hopefully, of course, that will build up momentum.
Yes, after let's say half a year of putting total focus putting together groups and starting campaigns for him. And when we are seeing people are coming on board and the positive signs are there, we are now back on track in publishing, of course, we will continue on that track.
What message What message will you have for the Pollies and the journalists in Canberra this week?
Well, I mean, I'm emphasizing the fact that they are next if this goes forward. This is of utmost importance for all journalists in this world. This is about press freedom. This is about the fundamentals of our democracy, and they must come aboard, because this is about not just Julian Assange, this is about them as well.
Ex-politicians are, and quite an extraordinary variety of current politicians are joining the campaign, and I'll be talking to Greg Barnes about that in due course. But there's also, of course, still resistance. There's still an immense amount of hostility, and many people are still saying that Assange is not a journalist.
Well, I'm always amazed to hear that even the U.S. intelligence, according to leaked report, acknowledge him as a journalist. The U.K. courts, even though they are hostile, they put down black and white that he is a journalist, and WikiLeaks is a journalist organization. We're talking about an individual that has won the Walkley Awards and almost two dozen other prestigious journalists. Dick Awards throughout the last 10 years for his work and for WikiLeaks works. I was a journalist for 20 years before I joined WikiLeaks 10 years ago. There's no distinction in fundamentals. What I was doing in mainstream media, in broadcasting and in print before I joined WikiLeaks, and what I have been doing since. The methods are not the same, but the principles are the same. Of course, this is journalism, and people need to acknowledge that. Saying that is basically echoing the talking points of those who want to bring Julian down and WikiLeaks. That's echoing the absurdity that Pompeo said when he was head of the CIA, that WikiLeaks was a non-state hostile intelligence service. So that is a label that is now being given a man like Julian Assange. If you expose the truth, if you expose or embarrass the superpower, they will brand you as a spy, and they will hunt you down. And that should send a chill down the spine of every journalist. Every journalist understands what that really means.
Christian, thank you very much for coming on.